Would you please be seated and let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this night and all that it represents to us, all that Jesus teaches us, reveals to us, and accomplishes for us beginning on this night. And we pray that through this preaching, Lord, that you would give us strength for the journey as we come, particularly as we come to your table, Lord, that you would strengthen us to live the life, to obey this commandment of love and to serve one another, to not lord our authority or power or greatness over one another as the Gentiles do, but to become a servant as you became a servant to us. And we pray for this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. I was thinking about, I started listening to Alex Kershaw's book, The First Wave, about the D-Day invasion, and particularly he begins the night before when the Pathfinders go out and the first paratroopers paratrooping in the dark and these sorts of things. And he does do a little slice in there before they begin that journey across the English Channel where he talks about what they were eating and what they were, you know, they're getting bacon and coffee and like kind of last meal type stuff, right? But it was also going to be strength for the journey because it was unknown. You know, they could take some rations with them, but it was unknown how long it would be between when they left England, whether they were in a boat or in a plane, and when they would next be able to resupply. And so that idea of the strength for the journey, or maybe there's some runners here. Before you go and run, you have to eat, you have to carb load, right? You don't just run on an empty stomach, at least not a long distance, because you could really set yourself up for failure. So if we know that we need strength for the journey, strength for the task ahead of us, we know that on a natural level, we are careful to make sure that we eat when we know that we're going to have a lot of work to do or something very strenuous to take on. But it's also true spiritually, that we need to be filled up and to be strengthened, to be nourished. And one of the great gifts that God has given us is the institution of the Lord's Supper, which is for us, it's kind of the big idea, strength for the journey. Just as the Passover was the meal, which was to carry them out of Egypt as they followed the cloud of pillar and fire, as they followed in the way of the Lord, as they went out into the wilderness, this Passover meal was the meal that launched them, that gave them the initial strength for the journey. And then we read in our psalm about God providing water from the rock and manna from heaven, continually nourishing and strengthening his people. So as we think about the Lord's Supper tonight, I want to think about the benefits of Christ and the way that this gift from God strengthens us for the journey. So kind of three quick points, all starting with B: the blood, the bread, and the banquet. And that's what we're going to talk about. So first of all, notice in our Exodus reading that this blood, the blood of the Lamb, sets us free from judgment and from evil. In Exodus 12, verse 7, it talks about the blood being placed on the lintel. And in verses 12 and 13, it says, God promises that for all the houses which have the blood of the Lamb on the lintel of the doorpost, that his judgment will pass over those houses. And then Jesus, both calling back to the Passover, but also referencing the prophets who spoke of the new covenant, when he institutes this supper for his disciples, he calls it the new covenant in his blood. And the only place in the Old Testament where the exact phrase new covenant comes is in Jeremiah chapter 31, where Jeremiah, God speaks through Jeremiah and promises that in the new covenant, his sins, the sins of the people, the iniquities of the people will be forgotten, that God will remember them no more, that whatever judgment they were due, and they were due many judgments, just as we are, God promised to no longer remember them. And so this meal is nourishment in the sense that it sets us free from the judgment that we know that we deserve because of sin. It also sets us free, though, from God's enemies and our enemies. In that Exodus reading, verse 12, it specifically talks about God's triumph. And then if we think about the wedding supper of the Lamb in the book of Revelation, that great feast of the kingdom of God happens after Jesus defeats his enemies. And so Leon Morris, he's with the Lord now, but he was an Australian Anglican theologian. He wrote a little book called The Atonement, and if it just has chapters on propitiation, justification, covenant, Passover, all of the different sort of angles and approaches to think about the meaning of the cross and the meaning of the death of Jesus. I commend it to you. I think it's not in print anymore, but you can still find it. He quotes in there, he says this in there, "What the Passover sacrifice signifies for the Jews, that and more the sacrifice has done for Christians. It emphasizes deliverance from a powerful enemy. Because Jesus died as a Passover sacrifice, those who trust in him are no longer subject to the forces of evil. They have been delivered. They are free." And so this meal promises us and seals to us that freedom, that we are no longer subject to either to God's judgment because of our sin or to the forces of evil. The blood of the Lamb sets us free. Secondly, the unleavened bread. The bread calls us to worthily receive, as the prayer book says. That when we come to the table, we don't come flippantly, we don't come thoughtlessly, we don't come just by only because of repetition or only because it's just what you do when you come to an Anglican service, but you desire to come worthily. Just beyond our reading, in Exodus 12, 14 through 20, that's where you have the instructions about getting rid of the old leaven from the house and cleansing the house at the time of Passover. And Paul takes that analogy, or makes that analogy in 1 Corinthians, and says, you've got to get rid of the old leaven, not the literal leaven, but the leaven of malice, the leaven of evil, the leaven of sin and boasting and pride, and get rid of that old leaven and accept the new leaven of Christ, the Passover lamb. In 1 Corinthians 11, as we read, he says, "Let each one examine himself, and then so to eat of the bread and drink of the cup." So we don't come thoughtlessly or haphazardly, but we come with intention. Not thinking that worthiness means we checked all the right boxes this week, but worthiness, in fact, recognizes that there is still some of the old leaven in me. But God promises through his Son to deliver me from it, that he has, in fact, already delivered me from it, that I am free from judgment and evil. Paul also uses the same idea of the Passover. If you were to just read the Passover narrative and several long passages in 1 Corinthians, there are so many connections there. Another example would be in 1 Corinthians 10, where he warns the Corinthians about idolatry. To flee from don't dine at the table of demons, right? Don't dine at the table of demons Monday through Saturday and then come and dine at the Lord's table on Sunday. But be the family of God in fellowship with God, casting out idols, getting rid of your idols, not doing any syncretistic practices. One of the young ladies in my small group, she mentioned how her sister, who's not a believer, they were on the phone together, and her sister wanted to tell her about her horoscope and how the planets were aligning for her, and she's like, "I just hung up on her." And I was like, "That's awesome." She's like, "I called her back a little bit later, and I was like, are you ready to have a mature conversation now? Because you know I'm a Christian, and I don't want to hear any of that stuff." Maybe we don't need to be that aggressive about it. But God forbids any sort of magic or astrology or horoscopes or these things. But he also forbids harboring the idols that we have in our hearts. The big ones: money, sex, power, pride, gluttonous living, and so on. This bread, the unleavened bread, is a reminder every time that we receive that we want to be worthy receivers, that we want to cast out the old leaven and be strengthened by God with this bread that is the body of Jesus for us. So the blood of the Lamb, the bread that calls us to worthy reception, and then finally, where I began, the communion meal, the banquet, strengthens us for the journey. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, it says, "In this manner you shall eat it," eat the Passover, "with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand," right? Like 1 foot out the door, basically. "And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." The point of eating the meal is so that they could quickly walk in the way of the Lord and quickly exit Egypt. They are supposed to be ready to get up and go, and that's why God gives them this meal. Likewise, the communion meal is a meal for us to be ready to get up and go, to do the things which God has called us to do, to love one another as Jesus commanded his disciples, to not take up the place of authority or to the place of privilege, but to become a servant as he became a servant to us. And look how Jesus talks about this idea of becoming a servant to his disciples. In Luke 22, verse 30, he says that those who persevere with him, that they may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Those who keep God's commandment of love, those who, though they are great, though they have authority, become like servants, and those who persevere through trials are invited to come to this great heavenly banquet. And through this meal, we find that God gives us the strength that we need for that life. That when we are carbo-loading for the race, so to speak, not just with the bread and the wine, but with the very body and blood of Jesus strengthening our souls. To kind of swing away from the war analogy, the other analogy I was thinking of is a mother when she has a newborn, and the demands on her to, when she's nursing the baby every couple of hours, and how does she keep going? It's really not the little quick snacks that she's able to get that keep her going, right? It's love, often, for the child that keeps her going. And God promises to give his love to us at this table, to fill us with a greater love than even a mother has for her newborn, the love of God in our hearts, so that when we are pouring ourselves out, becoming servants, taking up this command to love one another, we're not doing it in our own strength, but we're doing it in God's love overflowing through us. That's what the Catechism says. What benefits do you receive through partaking of this sacrament? As my body is nourished by the bread and wine, my soul is strengthened by the body and blood of Christ. I receive God's forgiveness. I am renewed in love and unity of the body of Christ, the church. So God has given us this great meal, which shows us and seals to us the freedom that Christ has won for us, and exhorts us to worthily receive that, and gives us promises to us, and gives us a tangible assurance. How do you know that God has done this for you? How do you know that God is going to strengthen you? How do you know that God will be there when you're not sure if you can do the serving or do the love? You have a tangible assurance. You can feel it. You can taste it. You can smell it. And it's real for you. There is strength for the journey. And so tonight, let's receive with faith that we might walk in the way of Jesus and become servants and live in love. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we do need strength for the journey. Sort of been talking about it in the abstract, but Lord, there are probably immediate situations that come to each of our minds where we need patience or perseverance or wisdom or conviction or humility or so many other things. And so, Lord, we cling to your promise that this meal is for us strength for the journey, strength for the life you have called us to. A meal that actually ensures that we will make it to that banquet meal in the heavenly kingdom. And Lord, we pray that you will give us faith to receive and that you will do your work through us, through this table and through us as we seek to live as your body. And we pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.